If I could be known for anything, it would be that I'd be called faithful. When I was in seminary, I was at a small congregation in western Indiana. And that was a tough congregation. It was a tough time. I was just fresh out of the Marine Corps, and I found out that it was easier to be a Marine than it was to be a pastor. And I count it as my spiritual boot camp. But I was in seminary. I was traveling 85 miles one way to seminary, anywhere from 3 to 4 days a week, while I was pastoring full-time this congregation. Things just didn't seem like we were making any headway. And I was talking to the dean of students, and his father had actually laid the blocks on the building that we worshiped in. So he knew the church well. And Jerry Grubbs was his name. He said, "Mike, have you been faithful? Have you been faithful to your call?" I prayed about that. And at the moment I said, "Well, I believe so." And then I just kept, that's for all these years. That was in probably 1984, 80, no, it would have been 86. Anyway, he asked me that question, and that's been my guidepost, is to be faithful to God's call. And that's all he's asking of you. You know, as we, by the way, if you see I'm a little bit contorted. One of the challenges that I have to sit down is when in 89 I had a major surgery. It was a bilateral herniated discs, and they ruptured on both sides, causing debilitating pain and also loss of use of my right hand. And so we had to do surgery, and they got in there and found a bunch of scar tissue from a bunch of old injuries. And a three-hour surgery turned into 10 and a half. So they damaged the nerves to the vocal cords in my throat, and I couldn't speak for 6 weeks. Well, 7 weeks, actually. And I had 6 weeks covered in my pulpit before I started this recovery. I'm telling you all this for a reason. Anyway, when my voice wouldn't come back, I started to get nervous. Okay, how long is this going to last? Finally, one of the doctors at the VA hospital told me, we damaged the nerve because we had the retractor in there holding that open long enough to do the surgery. And the result is that nerve is damaged, and we don't know if it will, you know, heal itself. Nerves often don't. And so he said, "You may want to consider another career other than preaching. So something that you don't have to use your voice for, because people are going to have a hard time hearing you 5 feet away." And at that time, that was true. My brother-in-law here, Richard, would not have been able to hear me speak at that point. So I told the church council what was going on through an interpreter sitting next to me. And that night everybody left a bit distraught, and I had to walk from the fellowship hall where we had had our meeting through the sanctuary to turn out the lights. I had to turn out the lights on this end. My office was on the other end, so I had to walk through a dark sanctuary. But the moon was full, and it was flowing through the sanctuary and landing right on the altar. It was like a magnet. It drew me right to it, and I fell down in that spot in the moonlight, And I said, Lord, you called me. I know I've answered that call kicking and screaming, kicking against the goad, if you will. And with that, I just surrendered. I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, you've got to do something about this. The doctors say they can't. He told me, get up, prepare the sermon. This was on a Monday night. Get up and prepare the sermon and plan to preach this Sunday. The Sunday coming up was actually the General Assembly of the Church of God in Anderson, Indiana, at a camp meeting. So all the pastors that were free were there, and all the other pastors that were free were filling the pulpits for them. There wasn't anybody to fill my pulpit. And I thought, okay, Lord. So I went that night, told my wife, Jan. Jan has been such a, she is that helper. You know, that word, it only appears twice in Scripture. Once when God said that man needs a helpmate, and next when the psalmist said, I look to the hills from whence my help cometh. And that word is more of a rescuer than just a helper. She has been that. She's been by my side the whole time. She said, well, I guess we're going to go down to, because the church didn't have a PA system. So I guess we're going to go down to the Radio Shack tomorrow and get a PA system for the church. So we went down, used our credit card, and we bought a little PA system. And I went back and I prepared my sermon, and I whispered into the microphone, and we cranked it up, and she could hear in the back. We nodded and said, that'll do. And so Sunday morning rolled around. It was Father's Day, 1989. I woke up, and as I started to shave, I looked in the mirror and I said, Happy Father's Day. Came booming out, and they wished I had shut up then. Couldn't get me to shut up since. So God intervened, and he gave me my voice back. Well, that surgery caused C5, C6 not to move properly. They weren't able to fuse, and he was hoping it would auto-fuse, which it did not, and C5 has slipped. And now my alignment is in a problem, and I have scar. I have some kind of calcified mass around C2. All that to say, friends, I cannot lift my head beyond that. And it's like somebody's got their hand on the back of my head just pushing forward all the time. So it's very difficult for me to stand and speak. So that long story was to say, here I am. Send me in whatever condition I am. And however you choose to use me, I'm willing to be sent and used. Psalm 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This is the mission of every church. You know, churches have mission statements. But this is the mission of every church. There is no body of Christ that is exempt from this call. In Luke 4, we find Jesus opening the scroll as it was his turn to teach in the synagogue. And he read this passage, and he rolled it back up, and he said, today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And he called us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that he had commanded us, which is a simple command: love one another as he's loved us. And as we teach them that, and as we do that ourselves, he will be with us always to the end of the age. So the Great Commission was rolled out in this passage, and it's what we are called to do, you and me. Now, each may have a different purpose to fulfill this mission. I know that Dr. Engelbrecht and his boys like hockey. And I know that each hockey player on that ice rink, each one has a different purpose on the team. But the team has a common mission. Score more goals than the other team, right? And it's really good if you can keep them from scoring any at all. But it's the team effort. It's working together. You and I have a common mission, but each of us may have a different purpose in how we carry out that mission. That's a part of your job, is to find out what your purpose is. Each congregation may have a bit of a different purpose. You have a food pantry here that no other church in the valley has, really, that I know of. I mean, there's a couple of churches in Wasilla, but here in Palmer. What is it that God has called you to do? Well, first of all, to know the good news. Can you share the good news with somebody on the elevator going to the third or fourth floor? Do you know it well enough to be able to tell someone what the good news is? It's pretty simple. If you've ever watched a football game, look in the end zone. Somebody's holding up a sign, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Yes. The good news, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. God loves us. And he didn't just say it, he proved it. And while we were still sinners, he sent his Son to die in our place to pay that price that we couldn't afford, and a debt that Jesus didn't owe because he was sinless. So my condemnation, he took upon himself. I was rightly condemned, justly condemned to eternal death and torment and separation from God. I want you to think about that for a minute. If God is good, right? And all good things come from him. And if hell is the separation from God, it is the kind of despair where there is no hope. No hope of anything good ever again. That's what I was condemned to. But Jesus took that condemnation. He came to save anyone who would believe on him. And he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. Now that's everybody, Jew and Gentile, black and white, every color under the sun, men, women, there is no difference. We are all available to this truth. Do you know that good news for yourself? Do you have that truth in you? If you do, you're not to keep it for yourself. It's a silly little illustration, but the Madanista Electric Association has a deal going on right now. That if you take three of your incandescent light bulbs, just three, and you take them down to MEA and turn them in, they'll give you a six-pack of LED dimmable light bulbs. Yeah, that's true. I did it. I've got them at home. It was proof. You know, it's worth doing. If you're going to Walmart, just take you some incandescent bulbs. Take them right out of the light bulbs you've got in your lamps at home. Take them in there. Say, here they are. They, yes, and they swap them out. That's a pretty good deal. And if I told you that Kendall was giving away brand new Tundra pickup trucks, just take whatever you're driving, drive it down there and swap it out, I bet you'd go. And maybe you'd say you'd rather have a Dodge Ram. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm just telling you, if you were getting a brand new truck for whatever you're driving, I bet you'd go down there and do it, wouldn't you? The good news is that God exchanges His best for our worst. Now, my good news is pretty simple. I once was a sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But the truth of the matter is, I had rejected Jesus. I had rejected the church. And I was going into a very, very dark place. With it were some addictions. And it was a world of self-indulgence, self-centeredness, and violence. It was not a good place. At every turn there was evil. There was fear and paranoia. And the way to walk through that dark place was to fool yourself to think you were tough enough, bad enough that nobody wanted to mess with you. Now, that was all a facade. It really wasn't true. We just fooled ourselves to make ourselves think that. And the devil was just over there just cackling. So happy. And he had his own little spirits assigned to us who thought we were in a good place. But my mom and I don't know how many other people were praying for me. And they kept praying. And the Holy Spirit kept working to convict me of sin and righteousness and judgment. But you know, it wasn't just that fear of judgment. It was this sense of His perfect love. Romans 8, I'd like to turn there, and we're going to put that up on the screen for you. 8 verses 1 through 11. I don't know how much. Oh, that's just the reference there. You can write that down and go back. I highly recommend, by the way, that you take a look at this chapter, chapter 8 of Romans. Read it every day, the whole chapter. Read it every day for the next week. Whether you choose to do that assignment or not, I can't enforce that, but I would highly recommend it. Read that every day for the next week. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I really hope you get this. There is no condemnation when we have received that gift that God freely gives of salvation in his Son. And when you are justified, forgiven, and realize that you're weak because of flesh, you want strength, then you pray for the Spirit to fill you. I pray that every single day. Lord, fill me fresh with your Holy Spirit. Perfect your love in my heart. Make your grace abound in my life. And then because of that, my mind is set on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. Now, does it mean I'm perfect? Well, in God's sight, I am. As I dwell in Christ, I am. And by faith, I am. It's kind of like the little girl who took her daddy a glass of cold ice water while she's working so hard trying to cut a stump out of the front yard. And the glass was cold and it was sweating and she couldn't hold on to it very good. So she'd been out there helping her daddy with the stump, you know. And so she couldn't hold on to the glass, so she wrapped her little fingers around the lip of the glass, you know, and her fingers got down in the water and that dirt started to swirl down in that water. She took the glass and gave it to her daddy. She was just beaming with pride that she could do something for her daddy. It was a perfect gift. But there was that dirt swirling down. Daddy took that glass and he swallowed it all down. I am in Christ, therefore I have no condemnation. The Holy Spirit lives in me as I abide in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit convicts me rather than condemns me. We need to be convicted. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is as soon as I do or think something wrong, I'm convicted. My immediate response is, forgive me, Lord. And it's like it never happened to begin with. Slate washed clean. I've set my mind on the Spirit who sets me free from the law of sin and death. And the Holy Spirit in me gives me life and peace. This is my good news. This is the message I have to share when I share it with somebody. There is hope. You don't have to be tied up. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be caught in these life-controlling issues of your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. There's freedom. There's hope. There's peace. You don't have to be afraid. I was telling, and I'll call him Dr. E. Y'all probably know him as Dr. E. And Dwayne. You don't mind Dwayne, do you? Yeah. All right. My mama called me Mike, so I like to be called Mike. But I was talking to him before the service, and I was telling him a story about when I was still in the Marine Corps, and we started a little church, and it was in a storefront downtown, but it was in the upper room, if you will. We were renting an office space above the main offices on the stores on the boardwalk there in Beaufort, South Carolina. And we had our Sunday morning worship, and we had teaching, we had Bible studies and prayer meetings, like a lot of churches do. There weren't but about 20 of us. And but every Friday and Saturday night, we'd gather, and we would pray before we'd go out, and we'd go out in teams of two, and we'd go out and witness on the on the boardwalk there. That was a real nice park that was through there. And that park sometimes was full of really sweet people, and sometimes it was not. Some of the folks who were there were looking for trouble. But we would go out there after praying, and we would just look really pretty much everybody, but anybody who we felt like would speak to us, we'd just simply, with our Bible in hand, go up and ask them a simple question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Sometimes we got angry remarks and they stormed away. Sometimes they said it was none of our business. Sometimes they said, well, yes, I do. And they'd sit down and talk with us. And those were some good times. And we even prayed together oftentimes. But once in a while, we would have a really remarkable response and be able to share that gospel, good news, with someone who had not heard it before or who had not heard it very often, who did not know what it meant because nobody had ever explained it to them before. They knew about it. But I ran into a young man who had never heard the story of Jesus, who didn't know anything about God, and he thought Jesus Christ was a swear word. That's all he knew it as. He did not know the story of Jesus. So I shared with him this gospel story. And we had Bibles that we bought cases of and we would hand out down there. And I gave him a Bible after he accepted Christ. I showed him the Gospel of John, where to start reading. And you'd have thought I'd give him a new Tundra pickup truck. And he said, can I go back and read this right now? I said, you sure can. But you be sure to find some other Christian people, okay? Somebody around here has got to be a Christian on that ship. And you find out who they are. And you start meeting together and reading this Bible together. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he is. He was a deckhand on a cruise ship. Sometimes we share the good news and we never know what happens. Sometimes we get the privilege of praying with them to accept Jesus Christ. Who will you share your good news with? You know, this week somebody out there needs to hear it. And if we look back at Isaiah 61:1, Jesus was very specific about who were sent to help and share that with. The brokenhearted. Who do you know who's poor? Maybe poor in their resources. Maybe poor in spirit. Maybe poor in health. Who do you know who's brokenhearted? Maybe they've gone through a divorce. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've lost their job or their home. Who do you know is broken in body? I won't tell you that God always heals the body. But I will tell you that God loves them enough to walk with them and know their pain and encourage and support them as they walk through their challenges. And I will tell you that time and time again, I have found either the witness of the God-chosen healer, or he uses doctors. He uses wonderful doctors, chiropractors, who can relieve our suffering. And there's such a great opportunity for them to share that reality of God's love. But I've also been able to help doctors see the truth that when no medicine could give a reason for the healing, I could point to God. And they got to hear the gospel story and know that I was putting my faith in God more than them. They were simply the tools. They were the they were the tools in God's hand to accomplish His will. Who do you know is captive to life-controlling issues, those hurts, habits, and hang-ups? And isn't that all of us? Who doesn't have hurts, habits, or hang-ups that keep us tied down? Or to set the captive free? That freedom comes through faith in Christ, the abiding presence, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, and us dwelling in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And that oneness in God. And when we surround ourselves with others who are of like mind, who pursue purity and love and joy and peace, when we do that together, that person who's bound up in the life-controlling issues can find freedom and be set free. Can't do it alone. But with Christ first and with other people filled with the love of Christ, we can overcome anything because He's already overcome the world. Do you know anyone who's imprisoned by spiritual forces in the domain of darkness? Colossians 1:13 tells us that we've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. That transfer is one the devil does not want you to know can happen. And for those who are bound up in that domain of darkness, they've bought a lie. They've believed this lie. And it has become their truth. Now, if they've never heard the truth, if they don't know anything different, when you tell the good news, that may be the very key they need to unlock that prison door. Those evil spirits that continue to keep them in the darkness, suddenly you've got this flaring bright flashlight that just blinds them and shines your way, your path. I'm just telling you, there are people out there who are bound up in a darkness, a spiritual darkness. I know because I was one of them. And Pablo Huerta would come by my work station and he would have on a piece of paper one or two scriptures. He'd lay it down there just with a little question underneath, what do you think these mean? He didn't try to engage me or force me to believe what he believed, but he knew me well enough to know that with that I'd have to go look those scriptures up. He did that for months, and I don't know how long he was praying for me. But along with the prayers of my mother and so many others, it brought me out of that domain of darkness. My personal observation is that people are generally quick to condemn others, to point the finger, but they're slow to submit themselves to the Holy Spirit conviction. That's not just true of the world, that's also unfortunately true in the church. I say in the church not as the body of Christ, but as in the organization that we often call the church. Because in the body of Christ, Jesus doesn't allow that. One, we have to know that none of us have the ability to convict anyone of anything, let alone condemn them. And our only job is to share the good news and to love one another as Jesus has loved us. So think about your good news. Think about those who are poor, broken, captive, bound. Be quick to share your good news. and then love them as Jesus loved. You'll be amazed when you see what happens as God's chosen people. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this good news. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the hope we have in Him. Thank you that we can have peace with you through your indwelling Holy Spirit. And Father, as we sing this song of response, I pray that each one here will hear your message, your word. And as we leave this place, we each can go in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand as we